Hey, Jimmy, take it easy.
For the third time, Gene Wilson ain't here.
But I tell you, I've got to see Ricky.
I am trying, but I just can't play the part.
We'll take the scene again, and this time give me something.
Quiet. Turn him over.
The 1847 Silver Theater, starring Rosalind Russell and James Stewart in an original story, First Love. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. International Silver Company, makers of 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate, welcomes you to the 1847 Silver Theater. And right now, I'd like to introduce the man behind the show, a man known everywhere for his work on stage, screen, and radio, our director, Conrad Nagel.
Thank you, John Conti. Today, we bring to a close the story of Gene Wilson and Jimmy Parks, taking up the thread of the romance right where we left off last week. Before we ring up the curtain on this afternoon's performance, I'd like to tell you of other plays and famous players which we have in store for you. Next week, we shall present the celebrated dramatic actress of stage and screen, Miss Miriam Hopkins, in a special radio adaptation of a Faith Baldwin romance entitled P.S. She Got the Job. In following weeks, we shall present Brian Ahern, Jane Wyatt, Madeline Carroll, Clark Gable, Lee Tracy, and many other distinguished names of the screen and theater. And now in just a moment, our play First Love will begin. It's a romantic comedy drama, two against that town of hopes and heartaches, Hollywood. It's a play with that intangible thing called glamour. It's a play
Pardon me, Conrad, but could I borrow that word?
Borrow a word, John? What word?
The word glamour.
Certainly. Go right ahead.
I want to borrow the word glamour, ladies and gentlemen, because glamour is just the word that describes 1847 Rogers Brothers' new pattern in silver plate, which Rosalind Russell herself christened First Love. For Miss Russell says that the moment she saw it, she fell in love with this thrilling new pattern. First Love is strikingly beautiful, radiantly lovely, really glorified silver plate of graceful lines and exquisite proportions. Even more than that, the garland of formal flowers which ornaments the First Love pattern is richly raised and deeply etched in a new perfection of craftsmanship never before available save in sterling silver. And only 1847 Rogers Brothers know this secret of sterling craftsmanship applied to silver plate, the glorious climax of more than 90 years of working in silver. First Love is glamorous as a Hollywood star, a pattern to grace surroundings of any type. A pattern which you must really see to appreciate its beauty. And so that you may see this latest and loveliest of patterns, 1847 Rogers Brothers make it possible for you to secure a finely wrought fork, a special serving fork in the First Love pattern at one-third its regular price. So be sure to ask your jeweler or your department store about it tomorrow.
And now for our play. The lights are being dimmed, and the silver curtain is rising on the Grover Jones story, First Love, starring Rosalind Russell and James Stewart. We hope you like it.
Hey, Jimmy, take it easy.
We've got to find her, Perry. We've got to find Jean, do you hear?
Yeah, but wouldn't you just assume we were still alive when we do?
Oh, she's only at the station.
Yeah, and you can talk her into coming back. Something tells me that's going to take eloquence, my boy, the way she was feeling when she ran out of that apartment.
Why did she have to take it that way, Perry?
Look out. Oh, Jimmy.
What if I did give a bunch of people percentages on her first year's salary to help make her a star? That's been done before.
Oh, don't be a sap. That's not why Jean ran out on you, and you know it. What busted her up was finding out that you lied when you said you believed in her. It's like I told you from the first, Jimmy.
I'll look in the station. You wait here.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll go.
Examiner, time, paper.
Yes, sir. Ticket.
No, look, has a girl bought a ticket in here tonight since midnight, I mean?
Well, where would she been going?
Well, east, New York, maybe. Or Springfield, that's it. Springfield, Massachusetts, that's where she'd be going.
I haven't sold any ticket to Springfield. Besides, there's no train east out of here for about 5 hours, not until 7:30.
Well, have you seen her? Look, she's about 5'4", no, 5'5", no, and pretty, awful pretty, and brown hair, brown eyes, and had on a suit, brown, maybe blue. Well, I don't know, but...
I'm afraid I can't help you, but I'll keep an eye out.
Examiner Times, paper, read.
What luck, Jimmy?
No luck, no luck. No train out for 5 hours.
Where now?
Well, the hotels. We're going to check on everyone in Hollywood.
Jimmy,
and then we're
going to
start on the rooming houses.
Oh, hey, but you can't wake people up at this hour. Besides, we ought to get some sleep.
Sleep? I said we're going to find Gene.
Nope, no one but that name registered.
Well, she might have used another name. Now, look, she's about so tall and dark hair and brown eyes. And I think she had a suit on, a gray suit, maybe green.
Oh, afraid she's not here. Sorry.
No, wait. Hello. No, this girl would have come in since midnight. She's not? Okay, thanks.
Now, see here, young fellow. For the third time, Jean Wilson ain't here. She moved away a couple of weeks ago. Got a job in the movies. Now, will you quit waking me up?
Well, I just thought she might have come back. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right if it's urgent, but she's not here at the YWCA. Sorry.
Right.
No one that answers that description. Sorry.
She didn't buy a ticket, sorry.
Not at this hotel, sorry.
Haven't seen her, sorry.
Not at the YW, sorry.
No one that answers that description, sorry.
Not here, sorry.
Haven't seen her, sorry.
No ticket, sorry.
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 Sorry. Oh, Jimmy, it's no use. Give it up.
We're going to keep going. Let's go.
But, Jimmy, it's almost... Oh, all right. Where now?
Where? I don't know. Well, you just keep driving. I'll think of someplace.
Okay.
Oh, Jeannie. Jeannie, where? Where?
I hope you know this whole business is crazy, Jimmy.
It's crazy, Jimmy. It's crazy. You'll never be able to make me a star. As long as both of us together, I'll try.
Yes, sir, it's bets. Chasing all over town ever since midnight.
Until midnight, Jimmy. 10 hours till midnight. When this dress turns back into an apron and that limousine we came in back into a pocket.
Oh, Jimmy.
What did you say, Jimmy?
I didn't say anything. Keep driving.
Okay. But the next time you start out to turn some gal into a star, oh...
A falling star, Jimmy. Superstitious? I'm glad, Jimmy. And I love you, Jimmy. Good night, Jimmy.
Of course, it's like I told you from the first. You never should have told her all those lies.
All those lies, Jimmy. Lies and pretense. Lectures to talk. That's how we find out things. Funny things. Things we can laugh about. Why don't you laugh? Why don't we all laugh?
No, Jeannie. No. No, you don't understand. Come back.
Hey, what?
She won't come back, Mary. We're not going to find her. She'll never come back.
Coffee.
Is that all?
That's all.
Okay. Jean Wilson.
Hello, Marge.
Say, I didn't recognize you at first. Gee, how are you anyway?
Me? Oh, fine, fine, Marge.
I'll get you coffee. Say, it's well to see you. I read all that stuff in the paper. Here you are. Gosh, think of you being a star across the street from the same restaurant where you used to juggle trays. Ain't life funny, though? Want some more cream?
Huh? No, thank you.
Oh, I wish you'd have come in earlier so the other girls could have seen you. Say, what are you doing here all alone this hour of the morning? Been working over the studio making night scenes? Or did you just get lonesome for the old place?
Yeah, that's it. Lonesome.
Funny how you can feel about a place you work, Lonesome. Oh, say, I wanted to ask you. All that stuff in the papers about you being an international actress and stuff, that's just a lot of bunk, ain't it?
Yeah. That's all it is. Bunk.
That's what I told Ruthie. I says, Ruthie, it stands to reason if she was a big star, she wouldn't have been working here with us. And I told her. Hey, what's the matter? Do you feel all right? I mean, you look sort of...
Yeah, I'm all right.
Oh, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Besides Ruthie, I says, look who her manager is, that Jimmy Parks guy. The fellow who used to be head of the publicity department across the street. Everybody knows he's the biggest liar in Hollywood. Why, look how he made a star out of that Sister Lane. Just by making people think he was... Hey, aren't you going to finish your coffee? Hey, Gene, wait a minute. You're changed.
Well, good morning, Miss Wilson. Good morning. Glad to see you.
Mr. Rickey.
Sit down.
But there's no time...
You'd better. I have an idea you and I have a good deal to talk about this morning.
A good deal to... Mr. Rickey, do you already know what I'm here to tell you?
Yes, Miss Wilson, I do. You see, Trista Lane called me after she left your apartment last night.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm glad. That makes it much easier. All that she told you was true, Mr. Rickey. I'm not an international star. And I was a waitress in the restaurant across the street. The whole thing was just a little idea of Mr. Parks to...
To get back at me for firing him. I know. But something tells me you didn't know, Miss Wilson. Not about that part of it.
Well, what difference does it make? All that matters is that you have a contract with a girl that can't act. Well, that's why I'm here this morning. Mr. Rickey, I brought this.
What is it?
My copy of the contract between us. If you'll just write me a check for $51.46, you may have it back.
Check? $51.40... What are you talking about?
Well, that happens to be the price of a ticket to Springfield. I'd rather not have taken anything,
but Miss Wilson, it also happens that you're not going to Springfield.
What do you mean?
I have no intention of canceling that contract.
But it was made through fraud, and when you signed me, you thought that I was...
I thought you'd be a good box office, and you are. As for the ballyhoo of Parks, great publicity. Now we'll tell the public the truth about you, and they'll be more interested than ever.
But, Mr. Rickey, that's crazy. I mean, you don't understand. I'd be no good to you. I can't act.
I can't believe that. Remember, I saw you make that test yesterday with Trista Lane.
But that was different. That was because I had someone, something I could count on. But now it's no use. Oh, Mr. Rickey, you've got to let me out of that contract.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Miss Wilson. Besides, you're just a little upset now, and hard work's the best thing in the world for you.
Oh, but please, I...
I have a script called Cold Embers ready to go into production. Great story, Miss Wilson. A story of women in the war. And there's a girl in there... Well, when that picture is released, and with you in that part, you will be an international star.
Oh, no, Mr. Rickey, please. Please, you don't understand. You've got to let me out of it.
I do understand, Miss Wilson. And now you better go home and get some sleep. Beginning tomorrow, you're going to be a very busy young woman.
But please,
yes,
you've got to listen.
Make appointments for Miss Wilson tomorrow morning. A makeup test at 9.
No.
Fittings at
no,
10.
Please.
Photographs
Rickey,
at
no.
12. And introduce them to the four.
Rolling. Scene 14, take 9.
Action. And please, Miss Wilson,
give me something this time, eh?
But don't you understand? The man's an enemy, Margaret. We don't dare give him shelter.
He's hurt, and he needs care. Are we to let men die because they don't wear the right uniform?
Oh, if Joe and all the rest felt that way, where would we be?
Well, they don't. They're killing every chance they get.
Cut! Angie!
No, Miss Wilson. We can't spend the entire day on this one scene. Quiet! I want this set quiet!
Quiet!
Assistant, no visitors. Visitors off the set, please.
Yes, Mr. Moreau. I'm sorry, but you folks will have to get off the
set. I will explain again. The whole spirit of the story is in the lines you speak in the scene. There is determination. There is bitterness. There is despair. All the complex emotions that a woman feels in time of war. Now, put those things into it. Feel the scene, please. We take it again. Turn them over.
Rolling. Scene 14, take 10.
Action.
But don't you understand? The man's an enemy, Margaret. We don't dare give him shelter.
He's hurt and he needs care. Are we to let men die because they...
No! Cut! Will you tell me what is wrong with you?
Oh, maybe it's my fault, Miss Wilson. Maybe
I'm not. Of course it's not your fault. It's so, Mr. LaRue, I want to do what you say. I'm trying. I seem to be all tied up inside. Can we try it again?
No, we try it no more. We're wasting time. The company's dismissed for the day. It is no good, Ricky. The girl is flat, colorless. The day she took the test, she was an actress. Now she's a stick.
All right, I'll get another story. I'll get a dozen stories if I have to. But I'm going to make a picture with Jean Wilson, and you're going to direct it.
Crazy, Jimmy. She won't even see you.
But I'm not going to see Jean. I'm going to see Ricky.
He'll throw you out.
And this one had better be good, because if this script doesn't fit that girl, I'll fire you all and get some writers who can write. I'm busy.
Mr. Parks is here again. Says he must see you.
Parks, tell him to get off the lot and stay off. Turner, how soon can you have this new story ready to shoot? We've got to get started on a picture.
Wilson, in this story, you are supposed to be gay, to laugh. This is a comedy we are playing, not Macbeth. Will you please try?
I am trying, but I can't do it. I can't do it, I can't.
We've tried her in 6 stories, and she couldn't play any of them. That's why I brought you from New York, Max. If you can't write one that she can play, I don't know what to do.
I tell you, I've got to see Martin Ricky.
Cut! I give up. There is no use. I'm through. Completely and absolutely finished.
Parks, I gave orders to keep you off the lot.
Ricky, you've got to listen to me for 5 minutes, please. Ricky, I want to be honest with you.
What do you know about honesty? I gave you the best publicity job in Hollywood. I paid you top salary for 5 years. I saw you through every scrape that your crazy hot-headedness got you into. And how do you thank me for it? By one of the lowest tricks that ever was pulled in Hollywood. And you talk to me about honesty.
I know all that, Ricky. But I'm not here this morning for myself, Ricky. I swear I'm not.
Oh. Maybe you've got a new actress to sell me, huh? Somebody else that I can waste $200,000 on. Do you realize that I hired the best writers in the country to turn out scripts for that girl and... Oh, well, never mind. She's through. Have you got any more great ideas?
Ricky, let me write a story for her.
Ah, you're crazy.
That's what I'm here for, Ricky. I've got a story that she can play.
What are you talking about?
It's her story. Her own story, Ricky. The story of a girl with one single dream, one ambition, and a guy who was too much of a fool to recognize that dream in time. Let me do it, Ricky. This won't cost you a dime, but you've just got to let me write it.
Well, what makes you think she'd be any better in this story than she was in any of the others?
You saw her that day on that test with Trista. She was great. You know it. Well, since then, something's happened to Jean. I know what it is. She's lost the one thing an actress must have. Faith in herself. Well, the story I'm going to write will give that back. It'll make her see a lot of things straight now that seem twisted up in a million crazy shapes. And... Oh, Ricky, you've got to... I've got to do it. I've got to do it for so many reasons. Please give me this chance.
All right, Jimmy. I never knew you to do a bad job on anything you had your heart in. I've got a hunch your heart is in this.
Take it easy, Mr. Hess, or you'll burn up the keys.
No, I'll be quiet.
Okay, Mr. Hess.
Hey, what is this Hess business?
If you'd stop work long enough to read the paper, you'd know. It's your nom de plume, or should I say de type. It's all over the movie columns this morning that Superba's finally found a story for Gene Wilson. A story called Hollywood Girl by Ronald Hess. What a name, Ronald.
Never mind, never mind now. He is writing it for all you know. You just keep your mouth shut, see?
How about to Gene?
Most of all to Gene. Now, she's not to know.
Fine business. You're writing practically a stenographic report of the things you've said to each other. And you expect her not
to... That.
Am I? The girl in that story is Gene and the fellow is you, Jimmy, my boy. The masks you put on them are so thin it'd take a blind man to be fooled.
No, come on, you. Get out of here and mind your own business. Here's the third sequence. Now tell Ricky I'll get the rest of it by tomorrow night.
Oh, Jimmy, you can't. Use your head. You can't keep working like this. Get some rest and some decent food.
Don't worry. I'll get rest. Plenty of it. After this picture's finished.
What do you mean?
Well, I think Hollywood and I can do without each other for a while. I thought I'd do a little traveling, maybe down to Australia, you know. I always wanted to see those wombat and the platypus and the kangaroos. Hey, what is that? Now, come on, get out of here.
Okay.
Perry.
Yeah?
Perry, when do they start to shoot? Did Ricky tell you?
Sure, tomorrow. They're going to start with that sequence in the park. When the guy tells a girl he can make her a star. Wonder where you ever got that idea.
Well, Perry, now, you stick around. You watch the lighting and watch Jean's makeup, now everything. And if she's not getting every break, you go to Ricky and you tell him. Now, you do that, Ricky.
Okay. Ronald Hess. Ronald.
Quiet. Turn them over.
Pardon me, Mr. LaRue. Jean, the old faithful curl that's in your eyes again.
Oh, thank you. How's that?
That's swell. Excuse me, Mr. LaRue.
Quite all right. Thank you for noticing. Eh bien. Turn him over.
Rolling. Scene 37, take one.
Action, please.
I'll make you a star, Helen, so help me. I'll do it.
But I'm warning you. I can't act. Not anymore.
Of course you can. And we'll be together. I'll be there to pull you through. Together we're a cinch. Say you'll do it, Helen.
All right, Tommy. It's crazy. And I know I'll let you down, but as long as we're together... I'll do it.
Oh, Helen, I could kiss you.
You could, Tommy? You have.
Cut. Excellent. Thank you both.
Save the light.
I'm delighted, Miss Wilson, delighted. I see already that this story for you is the answer.
Yes. Yes, I'm beginning to think it is. Mr. LaRue, who's writing this story, do you know?
Someone by the name of Ronald Hess, I understand.
Yes, but who is Ronald Hess?
I have no idea. The name is new to me. Mr. Burke, do you by any chance happen to know who is this Ronald Hess?
Who, me? Say, I make it a point never to know any writer. No.
I see. Perhaps we'd better go on shooting, Mr. LaRue.
Exactly. Cameraman, give me a setup over here. Let's have it quiet for rehearsal.
You're haywire, Jimmy. You can't end it that way.
Now, I'm writing this story.
But the public won't go for it. So far, it's been a swell story. You got to get the boy and the girl together in the end.
Why? You say the story's been good. Well, do you know the reason? Because it's real, honest, and genuine. That's why. Well, it's going to end that way. The guy's a heel, isn't he? Well, as long as he's a heel, he doesn't deserve it.
Ever hear of this thing called love?
Yeah. She's not in love with him. Couldn't be.
Jimmy, you may know publicity, but when it comes to women, you're 4 points below being a moron.
Yeah? Well, this story, she doesn't love him, see? She gives him his walking papers right here on this beach. Now, listen. The fellow's come to say goodbye to her, see? And she says, why did you have to come back? Isn't it better to forget things that are over and done with? The one decent thing you might have done is to leave me alone. Oh, no, I'd better... To stay that way, it reads better. Let's see. Why did you have to come back? Isn't it better to forget things that are over and done with?
One decent thing you might have done was to stay away. I almost thought I loved you once, Tommy. But I know now I didn't, and I never could. There's too big a barrier of lies and pretense. And what I'm trying to say is this. There was a time I needed just one thing in life, Tom, and that was faith.
your faith in me. She didn't come through, Tommy, because you didn't have that faith. Now will you go? And this time don't come back. Please, Tommy. Please. Don't come back.
Cut. That is a picture. Perfect.
It's not. It's not. It's all wrong. It can't be like that. Harry. Harry, where is he? Where is he? Take me to him.
But he said...
I don't care what he said. Take me to him.
Is that you, Perry? I'll be right out. I'm making some reservations. Hello. That's right, yeah. The 840 to San Francisco. Yeah, lower. Thanks. Well, Perry, look, how did the scene go? Well, Jeannie.
I came to see Mr. Hess. Perry told me he lived here.
Well, Perry's batch. You better go back to the studio.
Oh, but I won't. Will I see Mr. Hess? That story has got to be changed. And you know how? I'll show you.
Well, here, Jeannie, now, wait a minute.
Don't read over my shoulders, in it. I'll show you what that closing speech of hers should be.
Let's stop this crazy business of torturing ourselves. I love you for writing the script for me. I love you for trying to keep it a secret. I love you for, oh, who cares what for. I love you. Jeannie, is it? You mean, could you?
Yes, Jeannie. I could, and I do.
Oh, Jeannie, my darling. Oh, Perry, now.
Don't mind me. That's all I wanted to know. Scene 382, close up. The two stand in close embrace, forgetting that there's anyone in the world but themselves. As we slowly fade out, the end.
You're wrong, Perry, isn't it, Jimmy?
Dead wrong.
It's the beginning. It's just scene one. And believe me, this is going to be a picture.
In just a moment, Rosalind Russell and James Stewart are coming out before the curtain so that you may meet them. But first, John Conte has a word for you.
Today, we've heard the happy ending of our play, First Love, in which we all enjoyed Rosalind Russell and James Stewart so much. And next week, in the 1847 Silver Theater, we'll hear about another play of another title. But you'll still hear a lot about the name First Love. For First Love, 1847 Rogers Brothers' stunning pattern in silver plate is news, real news. A design of enduring loveliness with craftsmanship of the type never before available save in sterling silver. Craftsmanship possible only from the great house of 1847 Rogers Brothers. For 1847 Rogers Brothers is the most important name in silver plate. A name which for 90 years has stood for the finest quality and workmanship. So go to your dealer tomorrow and learn now for how little this lasting loveliness can be yours and how easy it is to buy out of income. For today, you can make your dream come true. You can own the finest silver plate by 1847 Rogers Brothers. And now, here is Conrad Nick.
Ladies and gentlemen, I feel that we're all a little sad right now, for we've come to the end of our play, First Love, with Rosalind Russell and James Stewart. We hope you enjoyed it, and we know you enjoyed our stars. I want to congratulate them on a grand job.
Thank you, Conrad. I do know that I've enjoyed it.
Me too, Conrad.
And I know everybody will be thrilled with Miriam Hopkins' next play. Next week here on this program, Fanny Hurst's story, P.S. She Got the Job. But before I go, I would like to thank all of you for the wonderful way you've received our play. Your letters have meant so much to me.
And I'd like to thank 1847 Rogers Brothers, too. You know, I feel as though 1847 people and I were old friends. Matter of fact, we are. My mother has 1847 Rogers Brothers silverware in Connecticut, and I do here, too, in Hollywood. That's what we think of it.
Well, we certainly hope you'll be back, Rosalind. We appreciate MGM giving you permission to appear in our Silver Theater. Also, we wish you and Robert Montgomery lots of luck in your new picture, Love, Live, and Learn. Well, Jimmy, I guess it's au revoir to you, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is, Conrad. I guess I'll pack up my mic fright and get back to stage 8.
You've got a new MGM picture coming out soon, haven't you, Jimmy?
Yeah, The Last Gangster, starring Edward G. Robinson.
Well, I know it'll be a big success, and we also hope you'll do another play for us again here in the Silver Theater.
Well, maybe that's a date. And what Rosalind said about your letters goes for me, too, and my most sincere thanks to 1847 Rogers Brothers for letting me do Jimmy Parks. So long, everybody.
Goodbye. Come along, Jimmy.
Goodbye, Rosalind. Goodbye, Jimmy. This is Conrad Nagel bidding you good afternoon. I hope you'll be with us again next Sunday.
Next week, at the same time, the 1847 Silver Theater presents Miriam Hopkins in the exciting Faith Baldwin one-act play, P.S. She Got the Job. The Grover Jones story, First Love, was adapted for radio by True Boardman, with special music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. This is John Conte speaking for International Silver Company, makers of 1847 Rogers Brothers, America's finest silver plate. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.